بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ياسين والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters, last night we ended with the verse wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِتُنذِرَ قَوْمًا, we have sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are from amongst those who have been sent by Allah. You, along with all the other anbiya and prophets of Allah, are on a sirat al-mustaqim. You are all on a straight path. And the revelation that we have sent you with is a tanzeel. It is a revelation from Allah, who is al-aziz, the almighty, and al-rahim, the all-wise. Why have we sent you? Why have you sent you? You have been sent in this world with an objective and a purpose, لِتُنذِرَ, so that you may warn. We spoke about the meaning of indar. It is warn, to warn, and the warning is driven by what? It is driven by concern and compassion and love for the person whom you are warning, not to threaten and not to incite or instill fear in the next person. To warn who? قَوْمًا, one nation, a people. مَا أُنذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ, their forefathers and their ancestors were never warned. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the Arabs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you are warning a people, مَا أُنذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ, their forefathers and their ancestors were never warned. So were they, you know, the question that comes to mind, if their ancestors and their forefathers were never warned, do you really blame them for the idolatry and for the shirk, the polytheism in which they are involved? So what does this mean, that their forefathers were never warned? The Mufassirin explained over here that it does not mean that no Nabi was sent to them. Look, yes, amongst the Arabs, we know that Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, in fact, Ismail alayhi salam resided in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Ismail, him and both his father Ibrahim alayhi salam, they were sent to the Arabs. But for centuries, no prophet and no Nabi was sent amongst the Arabs. We know most of the Anbiya after Ismail alayhi salam, you had his brother Ishaq, who had a son Yaqub, sent to the Jews. Who had a son Yusuf, who was also sent to the Jews. You had Musa alayhi salam, he was sent to the Jews. So there weren't many anbiya and prophets who were sent to the Arabs. But elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that inna arsalnaka bil haqqi bashira wa nadira. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have sent you with al-haq. We have sent you with the truth. And we said that every nabi came into this world as a nadir, a warner, and bashir, a carrier of glad tidings. وَإِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. Allah says there was no community, Arab or non-Arab, there was no community without a warning having, without a warner having passed over them. So, yes, a prophet was not sent amongst them for many centuries and for many years. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not send warners only in the form of messengers and prophets. So though there was no prophet that had come to them, there were other warners. There are other people inviting them to Islam. For example, to the religion of the time. And we, as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every one of us the very same responsibility and duty entrusted to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have been left with that mission of da'wah. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised the Sahaba when they were gathered in front of him in their multitudes on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada', the farewell Hajj. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says? فَلْيُبَلِّغْ أَشَّاهِدْ مِنْكُمْ الْغَائِبِ. The one who is present must make tabligh, must carry this effort of da'wah to the one who is not present. On that day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed on that responsibility of tabligh and the responsibility of da'wah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handed it over to the ummah. So we are now acting as warners. No, none of us can ever claim that we are prophets, but we do also act and carry the same task and mission of the Nabi, which is a nadir, a warner. You are here to warn the next person. Again, the warning must be driven by love and compassion for that person, and you are a carrier of glad tidings and good news. We move on to the next verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says about that qawm, that qawman, that some insignificant people whom you have been sent to, the kuffar of Quraysh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ. The qawl, the word, a verdict has taken place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided, and a verdict has been issued by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding them. That is what laqad haqqa. Haqqa means that it has come to truth. It has come to pass. It cannot be changed. Haqqa. What has come to pass? What cannot be changed? Al-qawl. The word. The verdict of Allah has come to pass. Against most of them. What is the verdict? فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. So they will not believe. They will not believe. Now look, human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed before us two alternate ways in life. The way of belief and the way of disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the option to choose deeds that will earn us the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lead us to Jannah. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also left before us the option of choosing such deeds that will incur the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lead us into hellfire. May Allah protect us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while giving us this choice in this world, He has left it up to us as human beings. But while giving us the choice to choose either good or bad, to be from the right or the wrong, to be from the people of Jannah or the people of Jahannam, Allah has given us that choice or given us the option to make that choice. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us which choice to make. He's not already left it all completely up to us. He's given us two options. Or He's given us the option to choose. And along with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets to tell you that though you can choose one of the two, this is the way you should be. This is the way you should choose. And Allah sent books. Allah sent divine messengers from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you have this unfortunate person who does not, he neither thinks nor does he ponder. He does not listen to the call because of his arrogance, because of his pride, because of his ignorance. He does not want to accept what Allah wants for him. He has made up his mind. He knows it's the truth, and they knew it was the truth. With regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eventually they had to come to terms with this fact and with the reality that he was indeed a Nabi of Allah. And this message of the Quran, it was indeed a divine revelation from Allah. But it was their arrogance, it was their stubbornness, it was their pride that did not allow them to believe, although it was as clear as daylight. There was nothing more that could have been sent to them to convince them that this was the true God-sent religion, divine religion. So Allah says it was obvious that they were not going to believe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have passed the verdict. لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلِ. The qawl, the verdict, the statement from Allah has come to pass. عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ. Against most of them. So most of them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Most of them are not going to believe. Most of them will not bring iman. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, "Inna Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now describes their situation, and Allah paints an image for us. What a very powerful image. The situation of these people, most of them, who have, due to the arrogance, ignorance and pride, have refused to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran as the message of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paints an image of them for us. What does Allah say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cites a parable. He cites an example. He says, Inna ja'alna, inna, indeed we, inna, na, you have the royal we. When we say inna, when Allah says inna, He's referring to Himself. Okay, even though that na in Arabic is used to denote plural, the noon of plurality. But also, as in English, we have what we refer to as the royal we. The royal we, when one wishes to express His majesty and His highness, then instead of saying I, he says we. You find even the presidents of countries and the kings of certain kingdoms and the queens of certain countries, when they address the audience, what do they say? We. They do not use I. That is the royal we, to denote majesty, to denote loftiness and highness. So Allah says, Inna, referring to His majesty and His highness. Indeed we, Ja'alna, Ja'alna, we have placed. What have we placed? Fi a'naqihim, on their necks. A'naq. A'naq is the plural of unuq. Unuq is the neck. Allah says, we have placed around their necks, aghlalan, aghlal. What is aghlal? Aghlal is metal yokes or metal collars. Okay? You know, just picture this. When you go to court and there's a criminal in front of the judge and the judge sentences him to prison or the judge passes the verdict, what did Allah first say in the first ayah that we have done thus far? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has passed a verdict. In other words, in our language, the sentence has been passed. The man is found guilty. What happens next? What do they do? Out comes the cuffs, right? And they cuff him up. And they shackle this person. And if need be, especially in the past, they would put a yoke, a metal collar around his neck. So what happens next? You go to prison. The sentence has been passed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, the verdict has been taken by Allah. These people will never believe. That's the verdict. They have been sentenced. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now, once they have been sentenced, let me explain to you, or let me draw this image before you so that you may understand the situation in which they are living in this world. So Allah says they have these steel, it's a figurative expression, right? It's a metaphor to explain their situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He has placed these collars, steel collars, aghlal, around their necks. فَهِيَ إِلَى الْأَذْقَالِ And these metal collars are such that they reach up to the adhqan. Adhqan is the plural of dhuqn. What is dhuqn? Dhuqn is the chin. So in other words, it's pushing their heads up. فَهُمْ مُقْمَحُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so these steel collars, they are reaching up to their chins and their heads are forced to remain upraised, upwards. They can't move their heads down. When a person is in that type of a situation, he cannot even look at his own feet, right? So what does it mean? He's unaware of his own situation and condition. Allah says elsewhere in the Quran about the fasiqoon, the sinners, and the people who are completely misguided, nasullah, they forgot Allah. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ When you forget Allah, Allah makes you forget your own self. You forget your purpose in life. And this is the situation with them. So they are oblivious of their own situation in which they find themselves. Then, what happens to the prisoner? Right, so the judge passed the sentence. And the verdict has been passed. And he is now shackled and chained up. Next, what do? Where do they take him? They take him to the prison, or they take him to a dungeon, or they take him to a jail. And now over there, what happens? And now there he's confined. Right? He has a wall in front of him. He has a wall at the back. He's completely confined. So in the first example, or the first similitude, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are shackled and he can't even turn his gaze down towards his own feet, he has become oblivious, or he has become unmindful of his own situation. That's how lost he is. Number two, now he's confined to the space of the prison cell. He's become unaware of what? Anything beyond that. So while everyone else, though they are the majority,
who are in this situation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today also, we are a minority. Muslims are a minority. Muslims will always remain a minority. Okay, why? Allah says, because the verdict has been passed against most of them. Ala aktharihim. This is their situation. Now Allah gives us another image. What a powerful image. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدَّةً وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدَّةً فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Now Allah says, then, after we have them shackled up in this way, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ, before them, we have placed sadd. What's a sadd? A barrier that cannot be penetrated. We have placed before them a sadd, a barrier. We have placed وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدَّةً وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and behind them we have placed another sadd, another barrier. And then, what's left? Now when a person is shackled, the prisoner is shackled, and they're all shackled next to each other, there's no need to put a barrier on the side. Because the only way he can move is either front or back. So Allah doesn't speak about a barrier on the right and the left. There's a barrier in front of them. There's a barrier at the back of them. What's left? The top. فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ. And then we covered them up from the top. Allahu Akbar. They are living in a prison. That arrogance, that pride, that ignorance, that is not allowing them to accept the message of Islam, Allah says they are trapped in this prison of theirs. They have forgotten their own situation and they are oblivious of the hidayah and the guidance that the minority is enjoying. Look at what we are experiencing in the month of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. This is such a great ni'mah of Allah. Every evening we witness the Quran recitations that are taking place, the dua that's taking place. At night our masajid are abuzz. Children are coming to the masjid. Subhanallah. This is so amazing, it's so great, it's so divine, it's so spiritual. But they are unmindful. They are completely unmindful of this beautiful hidayah that those beyond these four walls of ignorance and arrogance are experiencing and enjoying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have placed this barrier in front of them, a barrier behind them, we've covered the top. So there's absolutely no way that they can see. فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. They're not going to ever see the hidayah. They're not going to see the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, that is because they chose that path. No matter what miracle Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought before them, they chose the path of misguidance. Majority of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained. Now, look, there are certain channels of hidayah that Allah has kept. There are certain channels through which we can arrive at to the truth. What is the first channel or what is the first avenue? The first avenue is the world before you, correct? That is the creation. So one channel through which you can reach Allah is Allah's creation. And that is before you. That's in front of your eyes. So that is one avenue. And what did Allah say? He placed a barrier in front of them. So even if they study the creation, some of them, subhanallah, they know about the universe. Such knowledge and sciences about the universe, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they cannot find Allah. They've reached the moon, but they could not reach Allah, who says, I'm closer to them than their own jugular vein. Why? Because there's this barrier. So although that was one means of finding the truth and arriving at the truth, Allah says there's a barrier there. Fine. That's one way of arriving at the truth. How else can we arrive at the truth? A second way is to look into the past, correct? To look behind you. What happened to the people of Nuh? What happened to the people of Salih? What happened to the people of Hud? To learn of history. History is another means of arriving at the truth. But what did Allah say? He put a barrier behind them. So that's not going to help them. Even if they were to study and hear of the people of the past, it's not going to be of any benefit to them. Then there's a third avenue, a third channel. And what is that? The top. What comes on the top? Revelation. Right? Revelation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also sealed that up from them. So even though they listen to the Quran, they hear the Quran being recited, it's going to be absolutely of no benefit to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that situation by drawing this image before us. Allah then says in the last verse for this evening, وَسَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. It is all equal to them. It is absolutely the same to them. It will not make a difference to them. أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ. Whether you warn them, O Muhammad, warn the majority as much as you want to warn them. Don't stop warning them. It does not mean because majority are not going to accept. You still have to warn. But no matter how much you warn them, or you choose not to warn them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They will not bring iman. So the majority are so stubborn, the majority are so arrogant, that you warn them how much you wish, they're just not going to believe. Nuh alayhi salam, look at Nuh alayhi salam. For how many years did he preach to his people? 950 years. 950 years of da'wah to his people. Guess how many people embraced his faith? How many? Anyone else know? 70. 950 years. He never gave up. He never gave up. But how much from that community did he take with him on the ark? 70. For 950 years. Okay? Which teaches you and I something. Sometimes we write off a person too easily. Too easily we just write the person off. We speak to them once or twice, thrice, and then we say, ah, you know what? Hidayah is not meant for you. Hidayah is not in our hands. Hidayah is in the hands of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being told that you can warn them how many a times you wish to warn them. They're not going to bring iman. But did he stop warning them? He never stopped warning them. He kept on going to the house of Abu Jahl, one of his greatest enemies. Once on a rainy day, a rainy, cold day, Abu Jahl or Abu Lahab, one of the two, he hears a knock at the door and he says, Subhanallah, at this hour of the night and in such terrible conditions, someone came knocking at my door. Whatever he asks me of this night, I shall give it to him. When he opens the door, he sees it is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he abuses and insults the Nabi of Allah, and he expels him. And he sends him off from his door. But that was the extent and the level to which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would warn the community and warn the people, even though he knew that majority of them were not going to embrace the faith of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.